Hi, welcome to Two Non-Doctors. I'm Liz Mealy.
I'm Maria Shahada.
How you doing, Muffin?
I'm fine, tired, good. How are you?
Oh, same.
Yeah,
Fine, tired, good. Nailed it. Well, that was our podcast. Thank you so
thanks, guys.
much.
Thanks for checking in.
A fan came up to me in Minneapolis and was like, "I miss your podcast so much." And I was like, "Oh, you must be happy that we're back." He's like, "What?"
I didn't know.
It was fun. It was actually very fun to break the news. I was like, "We're back."
What?
He was just like, he was like about to be like mad at me, and I was like, "You can't, because we came back."
Yeah.
I was like, "Dude,
Totally
there's like six
forgiven.
episodes."
Yeah.
We're dumber than ever. I hope he's joined. I hope he's caught up. I hope he's here.
We're shorter episodes, so hopefully it's not too much to catch up on.
Yeah, we're doing it. We're making it work for us and the world. I feel like we're
Yeah.
doing. Man, I don't we haven't talked in a bit. I've had every emotion. I've had every emotion. What emotions have you had? Every emotion. I think in a week. And like normally you'd be like, "What's going on with your hormones?" It ain't it's me. It's me. I mean, hormones are always there. You can't do anything about it.
Wait, do you know the reason? Like, is there a reason, or is it just you're just all over the place?
So I definitely think I'm sad. I think I'm sad. I mean, like I've been calling it like post special blues,
Oh.
and we've talked about this. I don't know if we've ever talked about it in the podcast, but like the best way for I think people to understand post special blues or really post something big blues is like the way brides feel after they get married, like after a wedding,
Or even how you
because
feel coming back from vacation. It's like, oh,
yeah. For sure.
everything
So
you've
it's
looked
like,
forward to is done. You don't know what to
yeah.
do with yourself, and you feel a bit lost and empty and sad.
A little bit. And it's kind of like it happens every year. It happens every year. Sometimes a couple times a year because you'll have like some big thing in your career that you look forward to. And I mean, the beauty is that we like what we do. And when you like what you do, like when things are over, it's sad. But like, especially with something like a wedding, hopefully, a lot of women, not everyone, but they'll plan their wedding in their head for like half their life. And then you physically plan the wedding for a year. And even if it was perfect, perfect, you look beautiful, it went great, guests were fu having fun. It's like, then what? Like,
Yeah. All your thoughts go into that. And yeah, so it's like, well, I guess you just share the pictures for a while. Edinburgh was the same. Edinburgh is like as stressful as it was. When you stop, you're just going, well, what now? Everybody was like, especially after my first one where I felt like I had a team of people because I had like PR and director and like my agent, and it just felt like everybody was focused on me for a month. And it was the most stressful month of my life. But when it ended and everybody just sort of went poof, they just went away, you
You're
know.
like,
And
I nobody wants to talk about it. You
yeah.
want to
It's not my
Nobody.
day anymore. It's not my, like, yeah. And then you just, yeah. And I get it. I mean, I get it.
And I think a lot of it is like I'm very goal oriented. So like in general, like I haven't really been running. I've been doing like CrossFit and stuff, but like half the reason I ran is because I had a race, right? I had a marathon, I had a half marathon, I had a 5K. Like I had something in the books that I had to like plan towards, and I've kind of always been that person. Like I need something in the future to like to prep for, because I don't know, I'm one of the like most motivated lazy people. Like I just don't like my personality most days doesn't make sense. Like I genuinely like I have like these clothes behind me. These have been there for 4 days. There's clothes in the dryer. My dishes are clean. I've just been pulling them out of the dishwasher, and like hand washing my cat's bowls just because I'm like those are the only ones that I need right now. Been doing a lot of eating. I've been doing a lot of mom stuff where like I've e eaten breakfast over the counter while
Yeah.
watching my cats eat. because Lunchbox isn't eating
You're just
well.
Eating their leftovers, if they ever had leftovers.
Eating old cat food, almost, because Lunchbox hasn't been eating. He either hasn't been eating breakfast or he's barely been eating his breakfast, which is stressing me the fuck out. And so I'm A, trying to make sure that he's eating something, but if I can't not watch him because Ghost would be like, mine now, and fucking eat all his food. And it's just like, but genuinely, like, just eating eggs over a counter while watching my cats. And like, I'm falling apart a little bit. This is a cry for help.
Oh. Oh shit. Well, I mean, you already have like other goals, like you're working on your next hour and we're going on tour, and what more can you want?
I don't know. I genuinely think I'm tired.
I can't imagine you wouldn't be tired.
I am. This is the earliest I've woken up for not a flight in weeks, but when I don't set my alarm, like, you know me, I have a safety alarm, which is like the alarm right before I have to do something, so that like I go and pee and brush my teeth and then I go do that thing. Mm-hmm. And I've woken up to my safety alarm at like 10:55 or 11:55 and been like, ugh! And then like I had a safety alarm for like a podcast I was doing, and I was like,
oh, shit. That's the worst feeling.
And like, he was like, how's it going? I was like, great, great, great. I'm like, crusty
like
in my
crust
eyes.
In your eyes. Yeah.
just like, oh, just, you know, making a hat work. I'm hot. I'll be honest. It's kind of hot. But here we are. I hung out with Adrienne Appalucci. And my hair, it was really hot at the comedy club that she met me at. And my hair was like slipped back in like a bun. And when she showed up, her hair was slicked back in a bun. And I was just like, just two Italians making it work. I was like, how dirty is your hair? She's like, so dirty. And I was like, same. I was like, proud of us. Like, just two curly haired girls living a lie.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I've like the theater shows have been a dream. They've been so much fun. But like, it is a total 180 from being in Ohio and having to deal with like all the personal family stuff. And it's just like, I just flew back to London, had one day, and then it was like, be on. Like, and I'm opening these shows, so I'm going on cold. And I mean, you know, like, it's hard at first, but I get them within a few minutes, and it's usually really nice. So like, it's been a dream, but we had one day off. Like, I did like six or seven in a row, or six in a row or something. And then we had one day off. And then I just remember staring into space by 9 p.m. that day.
Which is the Edinburgh effect, that like, they're like, you should have a day off. And you're like, do I need it? And they're like, you should take it. And then you take it and you're like, no, it's not enough.
There's no way I'm going back on that. There's no way. Yeah.
I was talking to some young comics, and I actually want to hear more about your, the West mm-hmm. End. But I was at Acme in Minneapolis, and I was like, oh, it used to be three shows. Like, it was two shows on Saturday, and the host, this young woman named Emma, very funny, but she was like, how do you do 2 hours? And I was like, honestly, it's like anything, you build up the muscle, but 3 hours is really hard, because it's not only are you doing a third hour in a night, but it's usually like 11:30 midnight when you start it. And the one thing that's kind of great about like tour weekends being shorter, and because this is probably one of the longer, Acme is one of the longer weeks, because it's Wednesday through Saturday and you do six shows. But I was like, that third show on a Saturday at the end of the week, you're like, what?
You don't even know if like the things you've said, you've already said in that set or not. You're like,
dude. And if it doesn't go well, dude, and it's midnight. I tell stories. Everything about it is not conducive for that time of night anyway. But the third time you say something, and if it doesn't get the right reaction, your first thought is, oh, I've just said this. And I look crazy. Like, I look like a robot that's malfunctioning. Like, it is quite horrifying, because you're like, I don't know if they're not laughing because it's midnight, because I suck, because I've said this for the second time to them. Like, you just, it's just, your mind starts to spin, and you're just, anyway. I was gonna say, for the West End, the person you were opening for was political. And as somebody that opened for somebody political for years, I found it to be really great audiences, because like clearly you wouldn't be opening for them if your politics behind the scenes didn't match and who you were, you know what I mean? Like what you believe in. But they don't, like when I was opening for Hurry, like he doesn't want somebody talking about like Trump and race and whatever in front of him, because it starts to get oversaturated. And it's like,
I think that's exactly why I think the show works, is because I'm very personal, and I might like, I bring up Gaza, but not what's going on in Gaza right now, but like my experience there. And I think that's the difference. And I'm just, because if I were talking about, a bunch of like political shit, and then he comes out and talking about political shit, it's just like, oh God, you know? So I think I did round out that show really well. And like, you know, I got compliments about that. Because at first I was like, but I'm not political at all. But I'm like, actually, that works for the best.
Yeah. When you told me that's what was going on, I was like, oh, that was like true. Like, I get it. I truly get it now. You don't want somebody. So your style's opposite, but just like your essence. Like,
yeah, it's the same idea. Values, but different. Yeah. Like surface stuff. Yeah.
For sure. The same way that like again, this woman that was hosting was just like, well, how do you build a fan base, and how do you know, what if you don't like your fans? Like, that's one of the things she said. And I know comics that don't like their fans. I was like, I feel really fortunate, because almost like what you said,
you're the best fans. Yeah,
I have the best fans. And I think a lot of them is because my core values are like, not only how I treat people on and off stage, you know what I mean? Like, I do try, like, I try to be nice. I try to treat everybody, you know, well and the same and blah, blah, blah. But in general, what I'm saying on stage, I try not to attack anybody. The meanest person I'm to is usually myself. But in general, I do think under the jokes, you feel those core values. And it's interesting how, like, I don't know, you just don't, same with like when I opened for Hurry, like he's such a wonderful person, and I, you know, I feel like his beliefs and politics are in the right place. So it's like his fans were incredible. Like, it was always a dream. Like, I was never nervous opening for him, because I was like, I would go out there, they would accept me, they would listen, we're high-fiving about cats. I'm like, this is crazy. Like, it really was like, to the point where like when I wouldn't open for him at that time, I'm just like, why is everybody not thanking me? Like, why? I am a joy.
yeah. And Jonathan Pye's fans have been amazing. They've been so good. And then they're like, you know, he's like, follow Maria. And then a bunch of people followed me, and that's always nice. And then they like, people who saw me have written to me and told me like they enjoyed me. It's all really nice. And then you get some reviewer who goes, Maria had a so-so set. Which, to be fair, one or two of the shows so far have been so-so. I don't know what show they were at, but it's like, you really need to kick an opener. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, do I need to be brought down?
First of all, go fuck yourself entirely, truly. Yeah. But also, it really bothers me. If you're going to be an expert, right? You're going to be somebody that reviews people and blah, blah, blah. You don't want to take any context into this. You don't want to, I come out cold, nobody knows who I am. Half the time they don't expect an opener. They get there and they think the person they bought tickets for is immediately who they're going to see. You don't want to give them a second. You don't want to attest to the situation. It really bothers me when it's just this kind of like, I came, it wasn't perfect, they can go fuck themselves. And you're like, okay, it's my whole career, no big
that's
deal,
it's fine, it's all right.
Enjoy your brownstone time.
Enjoy your brownstone. It's like in Birdman when the New York Times critic like was like, I'm gonna review your show very poorly, and he goes, you risk nothing, I risk everything. And it's just like, yeah, tell her. Fucking reviewers, dude, come at me.
It's so funny, because it's just like, you want them, you need them, right? You need them for Edinburgh. It's really helpful when like specials come out. It was funny, I got like tagged in something that was like 10 specials, you know, you might have missed that you should see. And I was like, oh, and it was like a YouTube video. I was like, oh, this is so nice. And then it's just like, and Carmen was the first one. I was super excited. I was like, this guy's got great taste. But all he does is like, you should see it. And then he plays a clip and he moves on. I was like, you know
what? That's, yeah. What, like, why do you, how do you have people following you? And that's all you do. So, that's, you know, what it's like when I was watching YouTube with my brother. Just like half the things are just like reaction videos and people going, oh, that's funny. And it's like, why is this video? Why is this in my
Why does this have millions of views? Yeah. Millions.
Why am I trying so hard?
But that is, I mean, that is more and more what I say to myself is, why am I trying so hard in like almost every realm when it's like so little is like what people accept. And it's just like, I know this is like how I was raised and, you know, you do your best and you sign your name to everything. But it's like, even my signature is better than most people. Like, you just see people signing their credit cards and you're just like, oh, sorry, Mr. Squiggly. Like, what are we doing here? So I'm just.
Yeah, I just remember how pissed off you got like a long time ago on the podcast when I told you like a video of a hairdryer blowing got 12 million views. And you were like, I quit.
I can't. And you're just like, okay. And I mean, I'll be honest. I've had the review, the fans' comments and messages from this specific special have been some of the most thoughtful and the most seen I've felt, because this was like my hardest hour, like to write and perform. Like, it was just like, I don't know if I felt like a performer until this special. And it took different skills, both like auditory and like performance wise. And it was stressful. And there were certain bits that I would get stressed right before I did them, because you had to like stick the landing and stuff. And to have that be seen and valued feels awesome. But it's just like, you get to a point where you're just like, I would like whatever comes next to also come, you know what I mean? Like, whatever that is, money, bigger accolades, high fives from important people. Like, I don't know what's next, because I haven't gotten there, but you just tell me what's next. Is it caviar mailed to my apartment? What are we doing here, guys? I want to know what the next step is. And then I want it to happen, so I know it. Like, but I'm just tired. And I know that's why, like, my fucking, and I've been eating healthy. You'd be so proud of me.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. I've been really like genuinely like making good choices.
I was making really good choices. Like, well, no. Okay. Let me rephrase. I stopped eating like extra sugar and that was doing really well. But then like after the show last night, I went and bought a box of Lucky Charms. So I was like, I don't give a fuck anymore. I don't give a fuck.
I go to cereal as a comfort food. I think a lot of people do, as like, if I'm heading down, it's
I haven't had cereal. The headspace to make any food. I bought a bunch of food at the beginning of the week to cook, and it's like when you're too stressed. I've broken out in psoriasis, and I cannot even imagine cutting ingredients up and putting them together over heat. Mm-hmm. So I've been ordering takeout, eating at restaurants, and like everything I'm making at the theater is going towards feeding me, because I'm not feeding myself. And then I was like, cereal is good. I can add milk to a bowl. And by the way, do you know my brother adds milk before the cereal?
Is it for crispy reasons?
Yes. Like to keep, because he says he can control the dunking of the cereal into the milk and control the crispiness of it.
Because it's on top.
Yeah.
I mean, I genuinely am on his side, and I'm impressed. I can't believe I like so many shahadas. This is crazy. I'm a fan of so many shahadas out here. Yeah, because I know you like soggy, and that's been really hard for our relationships.
I know.
But yeah, like as a person that likes crunchy and it's like important to me, I'm just hats
well, there's
off.
A tip for everybody out there who likes your cereal crunchy. Put the milk in the bowl first, let it float on top, and then dunk as needed.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just so impressed with this family. Just
my brother. I told my brother he's like, he's smart about the dumbest things.
There are people like that. Like literally, like, not to say your brother's life is in disarray, but I've met people, their life is in disarray. And there's like a couple of things that you're like, yeah, that's genuinely genius. Like, that is, you should teach a course on that. That's crazy. My mom's the opposite. She gets so mad when I say this, though, but my mom is incredibly intelligent, like just super, super smart. And then like cannot pick up a phone. Like, we had a phone on the wall just like a cordless phone on the wall. And my mom, like every single time, was like, hi, are you there? Hi. And you're like,
it's like slipping out of her hands.
Just couldn't do it. But like, just like this, like truly the simplest things. My mom is like, just, but then she's like doing brain surgery on a cat. And you're right. Just like, I can't.
Well, it's because her brain is occupying more important things.
So absolutely.
She doesn't need to know how to turn on a phone.
Yeah. And she's also had 5 kids. When it comes to like any technology, she's like, you do it.
You do it. Someone else do it. I have 5 of you.
Yeah. Somebody use your little tiny fingers and make this work.
All right. Do you want to do like motions and there's a fan mail I want to read.
Oh, okay. Oh, can I tell like a really dumb, pointless story real quick?
Oh, that's the whole podcast. Yeah.
Yes, please. So I'm allergic to yeast. And I couldn't eat bread for years, did not have bread for years. And then keto became a big thing. And there, because like, even like Ezekiel or some of these like gluten-free breads, they still have yeast in them. So I cannot have bread. And so there's this keto bread. I think it's called like basic culture or something like that. But it's in like the freezer section of like a Whole Foods or like an organic store or whatever. And it's not good. I call it gross bread because it's gross. And anybody that's had it has said, this is gross. But I've been eating it for years because you just toast it. I feel like you toast anything and you put something on it, it's fine. So I like my gross bread. It's a way for me to feel connected to bread. And I've gone to Whole Foods 3 times and they haven't had it. And so at first I was like, oh, it's out of stock. And then the third time I went, it's nowhere. There's no Ezekiel bread. There's no frozen bread. And I was like, freaking out. I was like, no, I'm trying to eat healthy. This is like my one little, you know, kind of snacky snack that makes me feel, it's the way that I can kind of be lazy. I can make a sandwich, like, and I'm freaking out. And so I go to like the little dude and I was like, hey, there's this like frozen bread that I get, but it hasn't been here for a month. And I'm just wondering if like it went out of business or you're like done ordering it. And he goes, what's it called? And I was like, I don't know what it's called. It's like, frozen. I've been having it for years. It's frozen. It's gross. Like, I'm like, it's nasty. You shouldn't eat it. And he's like, well, I'll call somebody. I was like, well, how long is that going to take? It's so funny that I was like, I've been thinking about it for a month. And I was like, I don't know. I was like, how long is that going to take? Like, I was just like, so like, you know, because I've done that before. And then you're waiting for a staff member for like 20 minutes. And then they tell you like, hey, it went out of business. And you're like, I could have Googled this. And like, I just was like, so. But anyway, this person came over immediately and was like, oh, we just moved our frozen bread. I was like, what?
Right.
I was like, when did you do that? He's like, oh, we slowly been doing it. Keep in mind, it's just like, it's not that big of a store. He's like,
Phoebe moved out of Monica and Rachel's or something. Like, just like piece of furniture at a time.
Yeah, just like one bread at a time. Somebody's moving it to the other side of the store. And there it was. And I was like, my gross bread. Like, truly, like again, I was just like, oh, but it made my, that was the highlight of my week is my gross bread is back.
Good. It never left, to be fair.
It never left.
You found it again.
And it didn't go out of business. So I'm not the only person that eats this disgusting bread.
I'm so over gluten-free bread.
It ain't good.
It's not good. It's like good. Sweeter than it needs to be. I just don't know what they're doing with it. There are some brands that are all right. Like M&S here, they have good gluten-free bread, but like it's not one of those things you can just buy anywhere, like anything gluten-free. It's like, no, it's really going to be, it's very particular.
Yeah. Okay. That was my gross bread story.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. our announcements. We're going to Europe. We're going on tour soon, like in 2 weeks. It is mostly Germany. I don't know how that happened.
We just spent 30 minutes talking about how tired we are. It's like, we're going on tour in like 2 weeks.
Oh, God. I mean, that's
the tired tour.
Yeah, the tired tour. I'm trying to sleep. But we are everywhere. Just go to lizmealy.com or mariashahada.com. But it starts in Edinburgh. It's a bunch of Germany in the middle. Just some of the dates: Edinburgh, Dublin, London. Oh, somebody taught us how to say Carl Schreiber. Yeah, and I was like literally practicing, and then all of a sudden I was like, oh no! It was like our German fan was teaching. Thank you, German fan.
Appreciate it, but I think we're a lost cause there.
I really do. Berlin, Frankfurt, Munich, Heidelberg.
That got added.
Yes, Munich just got added. Paris, Brussels,
Amsterdam.
It's all on. Yeah, Amsterdam. Yeah.
If you live in Europe, just check the sites.
Yeah.
You might be there.
We might be there. And then again, my special's out. It's called Murder Sheets. It's free on YouTube. It's
May 2nd at 9:45 p.m. at the Bill Murray in London. I'm doing a work in progress for my show. I'd love it if you guys came. I've been changing it a lot, so it's still kind of a mess, but I need an audience to help me decide
Bill Murray.
What to keep in and what not to. Yeah.
Yeah, so Bill Murray, May 2nd.
Yeah.
Go, go, go.
Go, go, go. Thank you to our Patreons. I think we got a couple of new Patreons, and
I know. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Fan mail.
Yes.
We are flying and I love it. This is from Teresa. She says, hi, Liz and Maria. First off, I cannot tell you how happy I am that you guys have started the podcast back up. I always go to your shows when you are both together. I feel like you should do a Two Non-Doctors live show sometime. Yes. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
We tried that once, and then, you know, COVID.
Pandemic. So we got too eager.
Yeah. At any rate, between the two of you, you cover basically all things that pertain to what I'm dealing with. Lol. Do you say lol in the States, or is that just a UK thing? LOL.
I don't think lol. I hear LOL, but I've never heard lol.
Okay. So lol's just said here. Misophonia, yeast allergies, the not wanting kids, hormone bullshit, most recently, the waiting mode, among others. I'd never heard of such a thing, but I absolutely 110% have it. I'm getting married in June, and I have been paralyzed with anxiety about finishing up the last minute details. All I needed to do was send damn emails or texts, and I simply could not bring myself to do it. However, I am happy to report that after listening to Liz talk about something about, I'm sorry, Liz talk about going to a coffee shop to just get something done, it motivated me to do the same. I've knocked off several things off my to-do list in one day, and now it is officially off my brain. Many thanks. Love you guys. Teresa. And she managed this email, so that's great.
Yeah, Teresa, you're killing it. I mean, first of all, we are
congratulations.
Honored.
Oh, that yes, too. This,
yeah. I mean, yes, congrats on your upcoming wedding. Get ready for those sadness afterwards. Sorry about this podcast. She's like, I sent these emails and now I'm going to be sad?
More people need to know. You're going to be sad after a big event like your wedding.
Girl, you're going to be sad. But right now, proud. This is what you are. You're proud. You did the emails. You did what you had to do. That's awesome. I do feel like we're inspirational. I feel like we just taught her about gross spread. I feel like this is big, Teresa.
Yeah. I like that her subject was, I did things.
Yeah, that's almost how I text you. I'm just like, Maria, I did things. I'm so proud of you, girl. Oh, that's awesome. That genuinely makes us happy.
Yeah.
We want more of those emails.
Yeah, more emails. Please send us your emails. Did we inspire you?
Yeah, did we? Because you can email us at twonondoctors@gmail.com. That's the number 2 non-full word doctors@gmail.com.
And then you can follow us on Twitter and YouTube at 2NonDoctors, number 2 full word doctors. And then on Instagram at 2NonDRS. That's the number 2.
Yeah.
And follow me at Maria Shahada.
Yeah, follow Maria. Follow us.
Okay. Googles?
Yeah, Googlies.
All right.
Do you want to go first? Should
I? Yeah, I mean, mine's like kind of disjointed. It like felt like it was a little more research than... I mean, okay, so basically I Googled why do theaters have ghosts?
Your Googles have become insane, by the way. I love you so much. But yes, they have become completely unhinged.
I can see the terror now. Her Googles are out of control. Completely unhinged Googling.
But it's just like, our Googles started out like quaint, where they're just like, hey, moles, is it a big deal? Right. Tell me or don't tell me.
Does my pinky toe have a spirit?
I mean, if we were still like in a pandemic and not allowed to like leave our apartments, this would make sense to me. Like your Googles are getting just like crazier and crazier because you haven't talked to another human. But you're talking to humans. You're out there.
I'm just slowly losing my mind.
Yeah, great. But please tell me about your spirit journey.
Because I'd never really heard of theater ghosts until I watched Only Murders in the Building. And then there was like some episodes about the ghost theater having a ghost. In America, apparently the theaters have ghost lights that keep a ghost light on for the ghosts. But I didn't want to know, like, I just wanted to know why theaters would have ghosts. And then so I saw one website before I ran out of time and I had to like come onto the podcast. But it was saying like there's a lot of energy in theaters and that because a ton of people come through the doors. But I didn't buy that because, like, so do malls. Right? Like, there's no ghosts in malls unless we're just too loud to even notice them.
Just so we're clear, that's the problem I have with all ghost theories, is just that logic where they'll be like, da 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 da. And you're like, yeah, but so is da da da. Like, it's just like, yeah, sure. But also, like, it's so easy to poke a hole in, like, ghost logic. But continue.
The ghosts that usually haunt theaters, and the theater I'm at now does have a ghost. Her name is Victoria, which is what got me started in all these thoughts. Are sometimes they're like stagehands who don't leave. Sometimes it's like actors or people who were tragically killed before their time in that area, whatever. But it's just like, but why theaters? But the only thing that, like, I accepted was the creation of thought forms. I think because there's an exchange of energy between the audience and the performer, and that we're creating something, whether it's a play or a comedy or whatever. Comedy less so, otherwise a bunch of comedy clubs would be haunted. But I feel like that exchange might be conducive to paranormal activity, if you believe in that sort of thing, which more and more I'm kind of getting more into. You know, Marc Maron talked about, he talked about it on a special, but he also talked about it more in depth, I think, on the podcast after it happened. But he was in Ireland, and his girlfriend had died, Lynn, and they had previously taken a trip to Ireland and had a nice time together or whatever. But he was doing a joke that he wasn't sure if she would like about her, if she would like or not. And during the joke in this big theater, when he was doing it, the lights went off. And that he took that as a sign that she was okay with it, that she was present in the theater and she was okay with it. And the people who worked at the theater were like, we have never, like, had that problem before.
Yeah, but why would you take it that she was into it? If you turn the lights off, wouldn't it be that she's not into it?
Maybe, like, they flickered? I don't know. But he didn't take it as a bad sign. You're right. She's like, no, you're misreading me. You don't get me at all.
Yeah. Oh, my God. This is why I had to go. This is so frustrating.
Yeah. But I thought that was incredible.
Sure.
He tells it way better. I probably.
I don't doubt it. I saw the special. There's a part of me that's like, just doesn't make sense. Like, so how many, like, it's funny. So I have a friend of mine that's, we're the same age, but, like, younger comic. Like, she started a couple years ago. And she's like, do you feel like comedians die disproportionately more often than other people or art forms? And I go, oh, yeah, get ready. They're just dying all the time. You know, very tragically as well.
Was she a comedian?
She's a comedian now. She was a musician.
Well, that makes sense to me. You just know comedians. Like, so,
sure.
The percentage of people who die that you know are going to be comedians, because there's so many of them that you know.
Sure, but she's only been in it for 2 years. She was in music for 15 years, and she hasn't lost the same amount of musician friends in the 15 years she's done it as she has comedian friends. And if I tally all the people I've lost in my lifetime, it's mostly comedians, and mostly tragically. And that sucks, and mental health and blah, 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 and drugs and what have you. But also, like, there should be more comedian ghosts then. We lose, you know.
Well, the Comedy Store is haunted. The one in L.A.?
Haunted how?
There's, like, waitresses getting pushed downstairs by just kind of, like, falling, but pushed. There's all kinds of accounts of ghost activity at the Comedy Store. If you look into it, it's pretty cool.
Is it? Is it?
It is. That could be Richard Pryor fucking pushing some waitress down the stairs. Do you know what I mean? Like, who knows? There was a lot of talk.
And they just think it's funny. Like, it's just some comedian that just has like a.
Even the waitress gets up laughing like that. Was crazy.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Robin Williams was always nuts. That's so fun. Okay.
We have to move on to yours because we're running out of time here.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So mine. Crap, I had it pulled up. See you. Where's my little googlies? Okay. My Google was, does getting acne as an adult make you age slower? And
what?
I mean, I'm not the worst acne prone, but I don't remember a time ever in my life I didn't have acne, except for when I was on birth control. But even when I was on birth control, it made it less. But I saw some video that was just like, yeah, it like makes you, being acne prone makes you, you know, younger. And I was like, what? So it says the connection between acne and delayed aging is not a new finding. For many years, dermatologists have identified that the skin of acne sufferers appears to age more slowly in those who have not, in those, age more slowly than in those who have not experienced any acne in their lifetime. First of all, who are those people that have experienced no acne in their lifetime? Must be nice. And I'm glad you look old. Fuck you. But like research suggests a potential link between acne and wrinkles, meaning those who experienced more breakouts as teenagers and young adults might develop fewer wrinkles later in life. But my thing was more like, I am almost 40 and still deal with it. It's becoming a little bit better, which then made me want to research, like, is some other hormonal thing going on? Like, is this, at first I was like, maybe it's premenopausal that like my acne just magically started getting better, but everything said that menopause and acne are actually like, it makes it worse. And I was like, okay, but really like oily skin. Okay. So this is my feelings or this is my junk science. I'm very oily, very Italian.
Why didn't
you
name the podcast Junk Science?
Junk Science.
Oh, that's so good. But also, before you say anything, my guess would have been like oily skin keeps your skin supple enough to not give you wrinkles.
That's exactly what I feel. So it makes it so it, you know, it traps the dirt and you're more acne prone because I've just always had oily skin. And that's like never gone away. But then at the same time, I've always made jokes that like I have it in my special, but I forget what I say in my special, but I fully remember I was on the road. I was in like St. Louis or I was somewhere. And I wanted to get like just like an acne wash, but something that didn't dry the fuck out of my skin. And so, you know, what they always say in these kind of, you know, beauty shops or whatever, it's like, oh, do you have dry skin, do you have oily skin, whatever. And I go, I was like, I have very oily skin, like truly, like, look. And I kept making like you touch my face and your hand slips off, just stupid, but like, you know, we're having fun here. Nothing. This woman like did not enjoy my skin jokes, like, but it was just always like I like drip, I'm like dripping olive oil, like I am disgusting. But I don't know if my skin's drying out. I don't know if it's something different, but I do feel like, one, I'm less acne prone recently, knocking on all the wood. But
do you remember when your skin cleared up because you were in Scotland and you would eat mackerel?
Yes.
Did you ever find the same effect eating any sort of oily fish in the States, or was that just Scottish mackerel?
So two things. It was extremely hard to find mackerel here. I could only find canned mackerel. Like I was going from store, it's just like not, I don't know if people don't like it here so they don't order it, or if it's like harder or more, because it was like extremely affordable in regular grocery stores.
You have like 30 seconds.
So yeah, everybody get oil on your skin. thank you for,
I thought
it
would be really funny to end on and like mackerel talk.
just we're talking about fish, bro. Thank you for listening.
Thanks,
we'll see
guys.
You guys next Tuesday.
Okay, bye.
Bye.